This
is URN.
Hello and welcome to The Pulse. It is 6 minutes past five and it is our first Monday Pulse of the academic year. How exciting. I am Naya, I'm your host today, and I'm joined with Emily, Ben and Ethan. And we've got lots of very exciting stories, some quite heartbreaking, some a bit more upbeat, and we've got information about the court case that Kobe Bryant's wife is bringing. We've got information about Insulate Britain, the living wage has gone up today, and also there's some Christmas news. So who are we starting with? Insulate Britain?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
So Insulate Britain have took to the roads again today. They're the group that want all homes to be insulated by 2030. But now they've taken it even further and have started to glue themselves to the road. Transport Secretary Grant Shapps called them glued fools. So there's been 52 arrests so far, and they've blocked the roads for 14 days over 5 weeks. Today they've been blocking areas in and around Canary Wharf. The first thing I really wanted to ask was, do you guys think that these protests work? Sort of the whole disruptive protests. Do you think it makes a difference?
I think it makes a difference in the sense that it gets these groups like in the media and it gets their name out there. So for instance, I hadn't really heard of Insulate Britain, so an offshoot of Extinction Rebellion. But I hadn't heard of them like pre this story kind of being discussed with our group. But I think I know that one of the things that a lot of people often say with like protest groups and these kind of protests is that they're not really affecting the people who it needs to affect most. So they're not affecting, like, you know, the petrol companies or the oil businesses, and, you know, they're affecting like your everyday commuters. But I think for this protest, the fact they've chosen Canary Wharf, they are choosing more so the businesses and hopefully not the kind of lower classes. And, you know, I think that's quite often what's one of the like arguments against these protests.
Yeah, I think the same. There's a huge thing, isn't it? With a protest, you've got to have the hearts and minds concept of the people, of the general population in this case, if it's an environmental issue. And things like, I know it's not Extinction Rebellion, but some of the Extinction Rebellion techniques of like standing on trains, like commuter trains that are just affecting your average person trying to go to work. It so loses your average person. And so I feel like when you are gluing yourself to the road and affecting your average person, you're really losing your support and your fan base. Because I think most people don't have issues with the concept of most, I would say the general British population are in favour of doing things to help our environment. They're not in favour of waiting in queues for ages.
Yeah, it's like you said, you know, these sort of actions that they're taking, it does a lot to bring publicity to the groups. You know, as you mentioned, you hadn't heard of Insulate Britain before they started doing these tactics. But I suppose it then goes back to, does publicity really actually make a difference? Because all it, you know, as you've mentioned, with hearts and minds, all it does is really turn people against the cause. And especially with the insulation of homes, it's a cause that a lot of people, you know, it should be a popular cause, because ultimately it will help people save money on electric bills. It will keep the houses warmer during the winter. But just from the methods that they've taken, you know, if you look at Twitter during any protest that they do, it, you know, public opinion is really against them, and I think it's going to bounce back and actually hurt the cause that they're trying to promote.
Do you not think that the media potentially is villainising them, and that's where the public is sort of having this negative view from? If you read the articles, even this one, it talks a lot about what Insulate Britain are doing, but not much, if anything, about what the government is doing to respond to this. There's not really much questions as to why they haven't replied or given a date for insulating the country, even though they've been gluing themselves to the road. And like the media says, well, if Insulate Britain stop doing these disruptive tactics, then it'll stop. But don't question that maybe if they got the government to give a reply, those tactics would also stop and help the public anyway. So it's just a thought. Maybe the media is villainising them rather than them villainise themselves.
I think that's a really interesting thing that I hadn't come, like, hadn't considered. And I think it's very easy when you're just passively consuming media to to just go with the narrative that is presented to you. And actually, you're absolutely right. There's nowhere in that article where their causes being answered are really discussed.
I think as well, it's the classic, like, there's kind of always two sides to a story. And in this case, we're only getting one side. So, like, the media, you know, as you say, like, if they're companies that are maybe more right-wing and, you know, on the government side more so, like, they're not going to portray that story of, oh, but they've not got a government response. They're going to portray that side of, look at all the people that they've time-wasted and, you know, kept, you know, from getting from their jobs and that kind of thing. So I think it's very much a story where you need to, like, take both sides of the argument and kind of look at both the government's kind of actions and the group's actions before you decide, like, which side you fall, rather than just, as you say, like, taking one article and kind of running with that narrative, I suppose.
I think it's definitely a pattern with the, you know, the media in general, especially when it comes to activist groups. You know, we saw in the past with Extinction Rebellion as well. You know, I think the negative portrayal really does turn public opinion against them and can ultimately hurt the cause. And, getting both sides of the story is very important as well. You know, if you just compare the amount of people who know about Extinction Rebellion and Insulate Britain from, you know, reading headlines, you know, what percentage of those same people would then go on to, you know, listen to the leader of Insulate Britain actually conducting interviews and putting forth his case in a much less sort of disruptive manner? You know, I think you'll find it's a pretty small, you know, sort of group that go on to then listen to both sides. And I think it's definitely a problem with a lot of activist causes, and it hampers it greatly.
Where we were talking about, like, media portrayal and potentially villainising them, I guess for the people who are directly affected, like the people who've had to queue for hours, those story of like people trying to get to hospitals that had to wait for like 7 or 8 hours and then their outcome was so much worse. For those people, their anger is very much not from the media but from their experience. So do you think the media is just representative, like representing those people's views, but just on a broader scale?
Yeah, I think these, obviously, they're really, like, serious cases and important to talk about, but there's also the extreme cases, and I think it looks like the media is latching onto the extreme because, well, it's got clicks, it'll sell well.
It's the best story, yeah.
And then that gets dissipated and that becomes what is happening. But just to follow on from that, do you think if this is the case that these protests are being negatively viewed and being villainised by the media, what does work for public protest? Because on the other side of it, if you don't cause disruption, things like petitions, they don't get as well known and they don't actually make as much of a, like, harmful difference to the government, really.
I suppose you've only got to look at, like, the suffragette versus the suffragist, you know, movement in history to know that sometimes it is these wild things of they pour dye into the rivers and, you know, chain themselves to railings and things that is actually what gets the results. So I suppose, like, I don't kind of condone them for doing these kind of mad things, because I think that is what, as you say, gets the views. You know, if you see someone's glued themselves to a street, you're probably more likely to read that than 100 people gather peacefully with a sign, you know. Like, it is those things that get the media's attention, but I think they do need to be portrayed perhaps more fairly in the media. And I think that's the issue with social media, is it's not even official media sources. It's so easy for, you know, you and I are all journalists because we have a Twitter account now, and so people can very easily criticise before learning all the facts, and then that kind of becomes an echo chamber for everyone, I suppose.
I guess the counter of that is that everyone then has the ability to put their story out there, don't they?
So to counter it,
when
yeah.
If you're a real green activist, then you can put all that information on your Twitter. You can yourself make yourself a source of information. It has its pros and cons, doesn't it?
This is URN.